What's going on, Rebels? I'm Alex.
And I'm Steve.
And I'm Cisco.
And we are the Black Series Rebels, and you're listening to the BSR Show. This week, we are breaking down episodes 2 and 3 of
Moon Knight.
Remember, wherever you are listening to this episode, it would really help the show out if you could quickly just kind of poke into the old podcast app, leave a review, leave a comment, right? This episode is oh so minty fresh. You know, just spread the love. Let people know that you are a member of the BS Rebellion. The Bullshit Rebellion. That's kind of nice. The BS Rebellion.
Bill Simmons Rebellion.
Guys, we were off last week. We're back. Steve, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
I'm good. How are you, Cisco?
I'm doing very well. Great to see you, gentlemen.
All right. Well, let's catch up here a little bit. My favorite Twitter version of Cisco is Angry Basketball and Angry Baseball. Cisco.
And so Angry Bill I know Simmons, Cisco.
Whatever Cisco is currently upset about in the world of sports, I like being on top of it via Twitter. Cisco, what's going on in the world of sports? Get it off your chest, buddy. Get it out there.
I want a disclaimer. Angry is a funny word because I'm actually not. I don't really.
No. I
probably do come off much angrier than I am in real life about any of this stuff. Well, okay. For starters, we were recording this on April 13th, and Clayton Kershaw threw a 7-inning perfect game.
Nice.
In his first start of the season, and so there's been all this debate about whether or not he should have been pulled, and you know, the people who are criticizing Dave Roberts, which they love to do, don't you know understand anything about the health of baseball players.
And yeah, maybe right, not a great to idea to throw hard for 9 innings the first game of the season
after a lockout, after not having a spring training, after
yeah.
coming off of an injury plagued season, and at 34 years old.
I was gonna say and in the twilight years,
yeah,
and I mean that respectfully, of any pitcher's long,
but man,
storied career.
My man Kersh was dealing today, and it was a beautiful sight to behold. So,
baseball
so that
player.
Was one thing. I think I tweeted about Bill Simmons, but because he's a piece of garbage.
I just love it because I only have notifications set, and I don't know why I did this a while back. I only have notifications set for when either you, Alex, or Cisco tweets set up on my phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
I don't usually tweet that much, but for some reason, baseball season's here, so I might be tweeting more.
It's just been hilarious because it's like the random thoughts of Cisco, and it's like, you know, what a beautiful fucking whatever for baseball, and then it's like,
That was right after the Dodgers went back
Bill
to back
Simmons.
To back home runs.
Like, he can eat shit. Like, yeah, I just was like, oh god. So I had to look up what Bill Simmons did, and I was just like, oh okay.
It's like you're not gonna understand, Steve. Cisco's do.
Sports. I only know Bill Simmons from the movie stuff.
What about you, Steve? How are you doing on the on the old world box you're currently living on?
I'm good. I'm good. Life is good. I'm not in the crazy, crazy shoot stuff anymore. Life is good. I've gotten some rest. I've caught up on a ton of television and movies. And guys, I had my first Alamo Drafthouse experience.
Ah, nice.
Last week, I snuck out, went downtown, and I saw.
I know you love that
everything.
Shit. You love Drafthouse. You were like, this is my jam, jam.
I saw Everything Everywhere All at Once, and it couldn't have been a more perfect movie for my first Alamo experience.
You can't see some base level film on your first Drafthouse viewing. You gotta go big.
And it was great. It was.
What'd you get? Did you get food?
I just got popcorn and a Coke.
The popcorn's good.
Popcorn
in
a big steel bowl. And then they got the big, I always call it like Mexican restaurant, like soda cups. They're the like just the,
really, big plastics,
the big plastics, the big, and it's
or like Pizza Hut cups. Yeah, they were like red at Pizza Hut.
It's basically bottomless Coke and bottomless popcorn. And I look, I love the experience. I didn't really get to kind of hang out and walk around too much, but overall,
the merch
I gotta,
always gets me.
Oh right,
they got so much cool shit.
They got all the Vidiot shirts and the Mondo stuff. But you guys were not wrong about that movie. I loved every minute of that movie. And it deserves all of the overhype that it's getting now, in my opinion. And anyone who hasn't gone and seen it should go run out and see it, because I think I've tweeted to the first thing I've tweeted in a long time where I just said, this is like, if you want to support like movies and you're one of these people that are complaining about like non-original, non, you know, everything's just Marvel. Everything's just IP driven now, which is, you know, I can understand that. But, and you don't go support this movie, it makes no sense, because to me, this is pure popcorn movie that hits on so many levels. It's fucking weird. It's fucking strange. And anyways, you heard it from Alex, you heard it from Cisco, and now you've heard it from me. Go see that movie.
Oh, yeah. And I think now it is pretty much playing everywhere in the country.
Yeah, it opened wide.
Yeah, it opened wide. I've seen it twice now. I saw it this weekend. I saw it again. It is, and personally, an even better second viewing.
Oh, I bet.
Because obviously, there's a lot going on, and you're kind of able to track the brilliance of it a little easier.
So funny story real quick about Jonathan. Jonathan Kwan, right?
Yeah, Cake One.
Yeah. I was telling my executive producer on the show I'm working on about it. I went and saw it and said that he was in it. And he was like, Jonathan's in it? He's like, oh, man, I love Jonathan. I know Jonathan. We were in film school together at USC, and it was hilarious because we were in a, like, sound, like, class, and they were playing a scene from the train cart scene in Temple of Doom. And they were breaking down all the different, like, the sound files, essentially, and all the different loops and all different things. And everyone in class is laughing. And finally, the teacher just stops the class and is just like, I don't understand. Why is everyone laughing? And he didn't realize that fucking Short Round's one of his students sitting in class.
It's awesome.
So.
It's funny.
Yeah. That was a funny story.
Is he a professor?
Jonathan?
No, with his professor at USC. Was he also a doctor in sound? Was he a doctor?
Probably. Who knows?
Dr. Jones. I
just got your joke. I'm slow today. Sorry.
You know, he's just every time they're like, come on, man, say Dr. Jones. No, man. Like, he's so
cool.
Call
him Dr. Jones, doll.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited.
He steals
to see,
that movie. He's
I'm
incredible.
Excited to see what happens to him. And listen, Michelle kills it. Yeah. And like, talk about like sort of a, I hate saying it when people say this, but talk about a tour de force in terms of just a role that she got to show so many different sides of herself in one full movie.
I mean, both you know of what? Them.
Also, we didn't talk about her, but Stephanie Soo.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Man, right? She is. I haven't watched her. I haven't watched anything that she's been in before, except for like the small role in Shang-Chi. But my wife watches what is it, Maisel, that she's in.
Right.
Mm.
But man, she was so.
And did
cool
you? And she replaced really Awkwafina, who had to drop out.
I read that later on. I didn't. Yeah. I hadn't realized that, but that would have been interesting. I think she would have been fine in it too. But
I think I like the idea of this of her in it better.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think the Awkwafina version would still be great, but it would probably be a more Awkwafina take.
Yeah,
on the role, like
dry, a little more,
a little sarcastic. Drier, a little angrier, and a little more commenty. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I love that. That I think. Like her and Shang-Chi. I think she carries Shang-Chi. I love that movie and she's great in it.
I think what's nice about the casting in the movie is that nobody kind of overshadows each other.
Exactly.
Awkwafina's maybe yes. A little bit of a bigger.
Well,
she's a little more popular now, right now.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think that movie is strong enough to where anyone could have come in, but I think the cast they have is flawless. It's such a good movie. I'm very excited to see what Daniels cooks up next. Now, Cisco and Steve, Have you seen Swiss Army Man? Did I ask you guys this last week?
I haven't.
I have.
So, I mean, it would be a little bit like going back and maybe listening to like the old stuff of a band who just had a banger like four records in. Like Swiss Army Man's great. It's no Everything Everywhere All at Once, but I would say worth checking out. If you dig the tone and the vibe and that kind of like very heady, melodramatic themes with like poop jokes and mm-hmm. like shit like that, then you might really dig Swiss Army Man. I think it's worth checking out. How far are we in Atlanta? Where's everybody at? Is anybody
I have to admit, I haven't started it yet.
Okay. Steve?
I still need to finish season two.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, I'm as soon as we wrap up this episode, I'm going to try to watch
episode I'll watch one but, episode tonight for sure.
But I will say, anybody out there listening right now, go look up Donald Glover's interview in Interview Magazine where he interviews himself.
Dude, I love Donald
Glover.
It is
a fantastic fucking interview.
I'm all about it. I'm all about this like Donald Glover era that we're coming into where he's just like, no, I'm the greatest person on TV and in entertainment. I love it. Well, okay. So we've talked about Everything Everywhere All at Once. We talked briefly about Atlanta, but I think we'll probably catch up on it more. But there is one show that the three of us are caught up on. So what do you say we take it to a little conversation about Moon Knight. Fix it, boy. انا مش شايف فيكم حد انتوا عيال عايشين على الحق كل الناس عارفك وعلى الهد كل الناس عارفة اني غشيم عمري في يوم ما احتجت لحد مش تفخيم والله بجد واقف وسط كل اسد ما تربتش ان ابقى لئيم. So we've got two episodes to talk about this week. We've got episode 2, Summon the Suit. Let's start there. Let's go around the horn. Cisco, I know we were all super high on episode 1 of Moon Knight. How did we feel about episode 2?
I liked episode 2 a lot also. I thought it was cool that we finally got to see some pretty cool action with him in the suits. Multiple suits. We got to see more of Mark Spector this episode, which I thought was really cool. I'm trying to remember exactly what happened. So it's like basically Mark and Steven are sort of like going back and forth about the scarab. His ex-wife has shown up.
He finds the storage locker.
Right. With which I love that scene, just the way it looked. That yes. whole like when he walks into the storage locker, the way it looks was really cool. And then a little bit about like kind of like how the personalities relate to each other mm-hmm. and how they bounce around. But yeah, I dug this episode a lot. Episode 2.
Yeah, we also got a good chunk of Ethan Hawke stuff too. We started to learn a lot about him. We go to his spot, his little spot in London where he's kind of like cooking up and hatching up a plan, showing off all his deets. He's clearly trying to get a hold of, is it the scarab, that little beetle thing, the little, whatever the little thing is, mm-hmm. is they're trying to get a hold of that. And then you're right. We get some good action.
A little backstory. We forgot to mention that a little backstory on Khonshu and Ethan Hawke's character's relationship to Khonshu.
Yes. Yeah, that he was once he once wore the suit, right?
Right.
He was once Khonshu's avatar.
Correct. Great. Oh, that's right. Avatar. Steve, how did you feel about episode 2?
I really dug it, man. There's something very Sam Raimi about this show. But oddly very like 90s superhero movie type stuff that I don't know I would be as in love with it if it wasn't for an actor of the caliber of like Oscar Isaac that just really wraps it all up together for me and makes it really entertaining and not roll my eyes with cheesiness.
Without Oscar Isaac, this show's in trouble.
Yes.
Oscar Isaac is like carrying this show on his back.
Like, but I really, But there's something about the way that they successfully, especially in the first three episodes altogether, they do a really good job of setting up Steven, and then with sprinkling in Mark Spector personality, plus what's the name of the god that he's the avatar for?
Khonshu.
Khonshu. Mm-hmm. They do this really good job of by the third episode of just all the different personalities, all the interactions between just Oscar Isaac himself, and when he switches from which one to which one is done so well. Ethan Hawke could be done. His character could have been so done so bad, mustache twirling. And he plays it just real sort of calm the whole time. And I dig it. And I dig Mark's wife. I forget her name in it.
I forget too. Yeah.
Layla or something.
Is it Layla?
Yeah. And I really love the use of like all the mirrors and stuff in all the different scenes so that they can kind of banter back and forth. Like whether it was the storage locker or in the first episode with the bathroom or with the fish tank. And I just think it's really clever. And I like that they're doing just some really cool camera stuff.
I was going to say my favorite moment in the episode was at the very end when Mark finally snaps at Steven and kind of like loses it on that pyramid mirror and is kicking it and like yelling at it. And that was like it felt like a classic Oscar Isaac thing to me, where it was like, he was really like acting, you know, like it was like, yo,
and there was a Poe Dameron moment. There was a Poe Dameron moment when he's fighting the three guys.
Yeah. Oh,
and
sure.
I might be jumping ahead here to the third episode, but when he's in Cairo and he's fighting the three guys, he's like, what are we doing here? Are we fighting? What are we doing here? Are we fighting?
Yes,
are we dancing?
That's in
what
three,
are we doing here? And I was just like, oh, that's very, very Poe Dameron.
I mean, Oscar Isaac is kind of I'm gonna throw this out there, and this might be a bold hot take. Probably isn't, though. I think Oscar Isaac might be our... No one will ever be Harrison Ford, but I think he might be kind of falling into that role quite nicely. I think he's going to be an action star that can kind of move from franchise to franchise and kind of bring a really special, particular style to it between obviously Star Wars, but now Star Wars, Marvel, Dune, and then obviously he's in a bunch of stuff. You know, he's in the Jessica Chastain stuff, the slower, the softer stuff. He's really got a great range. And I just think he has that old Hollywood Harrison Ford kind of a thing, where he's just super handsome, but also really charming and funny, but can do the action. He's just the whole package. He's just every time he's on screen, I'm like, this guy's so good. He's such a stellar leading man. I'm trying to think of some of the, I remember while I was watching, I think, the second episode, and I was like, when was the first time I saw Oscar Isaac? And for me, it was Drive, and he's great in Drive. He's absolutely fantastic in that movie. It's and he's not in it that much, but when he's in it, he has a great impact, and he's just so talented.
I was having the same conversation with my sister-in-law the other day because we were talking about the show. And I was saying that Llewyn Davis was my first exposure to him, but then it was Ex Machina that I was like, oh yeah.
You know, I've never seen Ex Machina.
Really?
I need to see it. No,
I love it. I thought it was great.
I saw Drive. I saw Llewyn Davis, but it was two movies. It was, and I think they came out the same year. I could be wrong, but it was him really showing another side of himself with Ex Machina. Like when he does that dance scene, that very famous dance scene from that movie, you saw an actor that, again, had, like, used to jump what you're saying, has so much range and can pivot and make these crazy turns. But also, if you guys have not seen it, him and Jessica Chastain are in a movie called The Most Violent Year. It's a very slow burn, fantastic movie.
I have not seen that one.
I think Sarah has seen it, but I have not.
Fantastic movie.
Yes, and her name is Layla, by the way.
Layla, right.
And just to sort of give her some love, too, I think I shouted it out as a show that I was super into. She plays the sister on Rami. She's Rami's sister on that show. So, and she's great on that show. Oh man. Again, can't praise Rami enough. Definitely worth checking out, especially if you're into that kind of A24 Atlanta quirky comedy stuff. Like, Rami is definitely a stellar place to jump in. I'm trying to think of, I watched this episode, I think on Monday, and I don't think this is a bad thing, but I'm trying to kind of remember everything that happened. And I think what I'm really, as I'm kind of combing through it in my mind, there was that great fight sequence where you can't see who he's fighting, and he's kind of like right up, and nobody can really see that he's fighting this jackal. I mm-hmm. thought that was super, super fun.
And he's in that different suit. He's in the Mr. Knight suit.
Which that moment and that reveal was so great.
Yeah.
So if I'm understanding correctly, that's the British Moon Knight guy's suit.
Yes.
And then when it's Mark, he's like the Moon Knight, the main Moon Knight kind of vibe.
Right.
So there, if there's another guy in there, which I'm assuming there is, because I think they said that wasn't me.
And gotten to episode three yet.
But I think maybe we'll jump into three now as we kind of come into it. There must be another personality in there. So in episode three.
Sorry, light bulb just went off, and like now I understand something in episode three that I was confused about. So great.
Yeah. So this is the friendly type in episode three. And we kind of, at the end of two, we find ourselves in Cairo in search of the scarab because they have it now. And they are going to use it to, I'm going to butcher this, but there's an Egyptian god, right, that they're trying to awaken.
That Harrow, Ethan Hawke, is trying to awaken.
And now they're in basically an Indiana Jones style kind of adventure to get that and find where it is. But we end up basically kind of learning that there's somewhat of a council, I guess, almost like an Egyptian god council, where they all kind of come around and you have to plead your case, and they attempt to get them to stop Ethan Hawke. And instead they don't side with Ethan Hawke because they think that Oscar Isaac's character is unwell, or Mark Spector, the avatar themselves, is unwell. What do we think of episode three, Cisco?
This one was a bit of a slog for me. I felt like it was a little video gamey in a way. Like, I don't know if this is the right way to describe it, but it kind of felt like a mission, you know, like a mission in a video game where you
like the Cairo mission.
Yeah, it's like, you know, go get this scarab and go to this thing and talk to this guy and then go to this other thing. And, you know, that, like, when they go to, like, we have to track down this tomb from this art collector and, like, read the thing. And it's like, all right. I kind of was like, wasn't super into it, but I thought the Council of the Gods scene was pretty cool. Again, some insight to, like, how Khonshu relates to the other gods, and that they don't really seem to respect him, and Ethan Hawke / Harrow is kind of using that knowledge to his advantage to, like, basically manipulate them to not necessarily take his side, but to not trust Khonshu and Mark Spector.
Yeah, I mean, this is episode three and there are six, correct? So
I believe it would
make sense for this to kind of be a midpoint, kind of introduced all the main players, all the pieces on the chessboard. And I think as we move into episode four, hopefully we get a little bit more energy. Steve, how did you feel about episode three?
I totally get and hear what Cisco's saying. And in the moment, I had a lot of thoughts about, like, oh, this is clearly the most CGI effects heavy of the episode so far. What I took away from it was I felt like it built upon the relationship of Mark and Steve.
Yeah.
And it showed that it showed that Mark needed Steve just as much as Steve needs Mark. And I liked that Steve got a moment to shine and show what he kind of brings to the table in terms of his Egyptian knowledge and all that, and how it played into this episode, and how I'm sure it'll and sort of how the two of them are now learning to have to work together.
So, and maybe this isn't for us to know right now. So if we shouldn't know this, Cisco, lie to us. But are we supposed to know who the main personality is? Is it Mark? Is Mark the main original?
Yes.
Okay. So Mark is the original personality, and Steven is sort of the one, if not the first, kind of like split in the personality.
This isn't a spoiler. This is just a little bit of a history on like the comic book character. Mark Spector is the main guy / Moon Knight, right? Avatar for Khonshu. And in the old comics, he would have these sort of like aliases, and Stephen Grant was one of them. And later on in subsequent runs, writers started to implement this sort of idea of like multiple personalities, that it wasn't necessarily him using these characters as like an alias as much as it was like a different personality. Mm. And they were fractured. And so that idea is rather modern compared to like, you know, the older versions of the character. But yes, to answer your question, Mark Spector is in the comic books the main guy that Khonshu attaches himself to. And that's without getting into like the sort of background of who Mark Spector is. And, you know, that might be sort of spoilers for what happens in the show. I don't know yet, but yeah, that's kind of what I feel comfortable divulging at this point, I guess. Well,
and I really liked that we got a little more information on Mark and sort of him having been this like mercenary or something. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like he's got some PTSD from the shit that he caused, and that he's made the deal with Khonshu and for, you know, to sort of have his repenting for his sins and sort of, I thought that stuff was really interesting. And I just, there's a lot of silly shit too that normally I would just like balk at and be like, not my jam. But I think they do a really good job of character building and the acting, that it just, I don't know. I'm enjoying it. Amber's watching it with me. She's enjoying it, and she's never watched any of these Marvel shows other than WandaVision. And she's not a big Marvel person, and she's digging the show.
Awesome. I really dug the sequence where they travel back in time to get the stars aligned to the way they were
right
at that time in Egypt. That was just a really cool visual sequence with kind of the sky moving behind them. There's just some fun stuff. This just feels, I think Loki had a little bit of it, this where you felt like you were kind of getting a fun visual palette that feels different from the MCU. I think obviously WandaVision, at least for the first 4 or 5 episodes of WandaVision, that was very much something that was happening there. I think that's where these MCU shows are going to really thrive. I think if they can start getting to this place where they kind of just feel not different from the movies, but just where they feel a little more freedom to play.
They're not so beholden.
Yeah, I think at least, I don't know, you guys are welcome to chime in, but you know, I've sort of find myself over the last, I would say, year, and a lot of this has to do with the pandemic, the fact that they finished Endgame and then like basically Marvel went away for a year and a half, 2 years, where I feel like some of that momentum for me feels like it's starting to just kind of like get choppier. And I don't find myself, it's not that I'm not excited for like Doctor Strange, like I'm going to see that on the first day, get super excited. But what makes me excited about Moon Knight is it's kind of doing that for me again. Like I want to see what's going to happen in the next Marvel thing. Whereas like I dug Shang-Chi. I wasn't super high on Eternals. I thought Spider-Man was cool, and I didn't even watch Hawkeye. So like I just normally I'm right first day, gotta consume the Marvel stuff. And this show is doing a good job of tantalizing kind of my MCU desire again. And I mean, it's hard. Like, you know, even Michael Jordan is gonna lose some games. Like it's hard for it always to be the best thing ever. You know what I mean?
I think it might be like a couple of things. I think that number one, I agree with you. I think it is hard to like maintain a certain level of expectation or meet.
Yeah.
Continue to meet a certain level of expectation.
Which, and let's be honest, rough. Surpass it.
Yeah, that's a tough thing. Because I think
for years they just surpassed the expectations.
Right. And so, like, you know, for me, Black Widow, Eternals are good movies. You know, they're not for me on the same level of, like, let's say Shang-Chi or Spider-Man No Way Home, at least from the movies this year. And then the shows have all been sort of like different levels of enjoyment for me too. But what's interesting is that I think because we haven't gotten to a point yet where we've started to see what the next big arc is going to be yet. You know, we haven't gotten the, like, Thanos, although I mean, it could be that it's
Kang,
but we don't know that for sure because we haven't seen him since Loki. But, you know, once we saw Thanos for the first time, we were like, oh, okay, now, you know, like, we know that everything is sort of building to this ultimate conclusion. And right now we're still sort of in the dark in that respect. At least when it comes to the movies, the shows are so, I guess Loki is the only one that would kind of tie into them, but the shows are so separated from that world. But what's funny is that I was having a conversation again the other day with my sister-in-law. Again, we were talking about, because we were talking about Moon Knight, and she hadn't watched Hawkeye either. And I was telling her how much I enjoyed Hawkeye. And so she ended up watching it. And then we had dinner with them on Tuesday. And she was like, well, I watched Hawkeye in like two nights. She's like, I loved it. Mm. And I was like, dude, it's just so fun. And I think that the shows are sort of scratching that itch of like fun for me, you know, and especially Hawkeye. And this one too. I still think I am so far in comparing the two shows, I still enjoyed Hawkeye more, but I'm still so excited to see what ends up happening with Moon Knight, because Oscar Isaac has been very good so far for me.
Yeah, I think you go ahead, Steve.
You're going to build upon his thought. Go for it.
I think that I think you hit the nail on the head with one big thing, which is they haven't shown us yet what the big conclusion of the next giant phase of Marvel movies is going to be. So, like, we got your Black Panther into Infinity War, into Endgame, into Spider-Man Far From Home. Like, we got such big moments of, like, huge epic, like, you have to see what's going to happen in the next MCU movie. And I think Multiverse Madness in the Multiverse, a Multiverse of Madness, the new Doctor Strange, I think this is the one where they're going to kind of lay that out, and then we'll have a clearer runway. What were you gonna say, Steve?
Well, two things, because now I have another thought that is on this. Where are we at in this? What phase are we currently in, and where are we at with it?
And what, I believe what, we're now in, currently at four.
What's included in it?
Well, I think that No Way Home is like the
last
official,
of three, right?
Yeah, an official, like, we're into four now.
So No Way Home is the end of phase three.
Yeah, and I think the Multiverse of Madness will become the, like, first one of phase four, if I'm not mistaken. Or maybe Eternals. Eternals might be the first one of phase four.
I feel like Far From Home was the end of phase three, right?
No, because that was prior. I don't know, because then it gets murky with Black Widow.
Yeah, Black Widow is the end of phase three. But you're right. That's what's funny is like,
we might be in like a 3.5.
I mean, that's kind of reiterating my point a little bit though, right? Like, we're kind of like, I think we're in three. I think we don't quite know yet, because we haven't had that, like, now we're going and this is where we're going.
But the thing I will say is that, looking back, is that that's not that weird considering how long it took for us to even get Thanos for the first time. We didn't get to see Thanos for the first time until the Avengers movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were
four movies
prior to that.
Yeah.
And then it didn't even really get going until Guardians, which was like six or seven movies in.
Yeah.
So phase three ends with Far From Home.
So what are they saying, that phase four is officially begins with Black Widow? I think maybe Black Widow might be the first
one. Or would it be
one sec.
WandaVision?
One sec. Phase four. Hold on.
Yeah, maybe WandaVision.
Phase four. Here we go. Okay. Films. Black Widow, Shang-Chi, Eternals, No Way Home, Multiverse, Love and Thunder, Wakanda Forever, The Marvels, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Ant-Man.
This right, Wakanda Forever is going to be like Ant-Man, phase 7.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, Fantastic Four, Blade.
Well, we got a lot of stuff coming.
Oh, they got Fantastic Four on there, huh? Oh, yeah, that's right.
They,
I remember that.
They announced four. They just showed the number four, and everyone went ballistic. So maybe the end of phase four, I bet, is Fantastic Four. That'll probably be, and then they'll kick you into five.
Yeah.
I don't want this to sound like, because I'm totally not, the MCU is the gold standard. I'll be the first to say it. It's very much shaped the way that we take in all forms of media. Christ. Are you looking at all the movies that have come out, Steve?
I don't know how up to date this is, but we still are getting Thor this year and Wakanda Forever.
There's no way we're getting Wakanda Forever.
I was gonna say, I don't think Wakanda Forever is coming this year.
And probably then, originally was the plan, but we're
because they had to stop filming, right?
Yeah.
A couple times.
They've had some COVID issues.
They've had some COVID issues and injuries.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I wanted to bring up was I read an interview where Oscar Isaac didn't sign the Marvel contract.
Well,
and I forget the special name they have for them, but they have a special name. He's only signed up for this one thing.
He's coming back. He probably doesn't want to commit to Moon Knight season two.
That's the big thing, is that it's a big question about how Moon Knight fits in with the rest of the MCU. And that's actually something that goes back to the comics too. Moon Knight has never really fit in nicely with the Avengers or the teams in that way. So, you know, cause you can just tell, this show could be not even remotely related to the MCU at all. It could take place in the same timeline technically, but we have no connection to any other characters in the MCU at this point.
Yeah.
Will or not, we don't know. It's fine. Yeah, it's totally fine. So, and this show is going to do well enough that they'll try and get him to come back. So
I think most likely what you'll get is you'll get him in a big team up movie. They'll get him to sign on to one of those awesome.
Which one that's going to be is who knows? You know, there's all these could it be Secret Avengers? Could it be
these other?
Yeah.
There's no world where we don't get another one of those splash pages of now even more superheroes in there. You have to do it. There will be a time when you see Chris Evans standing next to Moon Knight. Will happen.
And this is an interesting thing too, because I didn't expect the sort of supernatural stuff that happened in this episode 3, because I don't remember that ever being a part of his character. The God being able to affect the constellations and all that kind of planets and stuff like that. I had never seen Moon Knight being able to do that before. I don't even remember to be honest with you, that Moon Knight being able to manifest his suit the way that he does in the comics. So this is definitely a sort of different take on the character, which I think is great. Exploring that aspect of it sort of opens him up in a different way that makes it probably a little easier for him to exist in this world of gods, you know.
They should have cut to Wong right after that guy did it, and Wong's just been like, who keeps fucking with the time?
He's probably too pissed off at Strange right now. Dude, we haven't even talked about Multiverse of Madness trailers, but yo, that movie looks like it's about to be
nuts.
Crazy.
I'm very curious to see that, to kind of come full circle with our conversation after Everything Everywhere All at Once and that, how this whole multiverse thing kind of shapes out in our heads.
I really feel like, when talking about the phases and stuff, it's weird. I feel like this mini portion of the face has been sort of, since Wanda has been building to this, and it just seems like, you want to talk about splash pages, all the bus stops in Burbank are, the posters for it are just a who's who of just every, I don't even know what to expect now going into this thing, other than it's a team up movie that's not a team up movie because there's so many fucking people in it.
I literally, and again, this could be total internet bullshit, but I mean, there's rumors that Tom Cruise is in this fucking thing.
Yeah.
I've seen that rumor too.
And that he's playing like a Tony Stark from another dimension. Like, wild. If I mean, if we get to that level of like,
I'm saying is, it like, it almost is weird that it opens up this box of where like they could just start making movies in different phases of different timelines.
Well,
different
yes.
people in the roles and
well, that's what they're doing, right? That's what's happening. They're creating options.
And I think a big push is probably trying to figure out how they're going to handle T'Challa, right?
Yeah. Like,
so we'll see what happens with Black Panther. But what's interesting is that in all this talking about phases now, it's like, in my brain, I kind of feel like the phase 1, 2, 3, like, it doesn't really matter where and when those things started, because it's all kind of like the Thanos saga or the Infinity War saga. And like, where does that begin and end? And, you know, really kind of begins with Avengers. So those movies that predate Avengers don't really, like, they set up the characters, but they don't really play that much into the saga per se. And only, so we're sort of in that, like,
a little bit, and maybe Captain America a little bit.
Well, yeah. The Captain America for sure, because at least we get the cube and
Skull, who ends up being the
or Dark World for sure more, because we get like the second stone. But yeah, anyway, that, I mean, it's sort of like neither here nor there, but you know, the phase thing, they might have to figure out how to like modify the language around that for fans, right? Where it's like, because fans like desire that kind of information, which is like, oh, what fits into this box? So you can kind of like easily figure it out in your brain. But if we can start talking about it in the sense of like overarching storylines, it might be a little easier to put them into like these separate worlds in a way.
And I think that's what I'm excited for. Yeah. I hope that whatever happens in the next Doctor Strange kind of does set that up for us, so we can all start getting really excited about whatever the next big team up's going to be, whatever the next big tentpole event Marvel IP is going to be. Because, I mean, it sounds weird, but we're kind of due for it. It's already, what, been 3 years since Endgame? Like, we're getting to the place where that, like, I think Spider-Man was probably like the amuse-bouche. Like, you got a little bit of it there. But I mean, I want that thing where they're all together, where they're all kind of smashing stuff. And hopefully, because the one I'm the most excited for is Love and Thunder, because Ragnarok is a top three Marvel movie for me. So I don't know about you boys, but I'm getting excited, and Moon Knight is doing it. Moon Knight's,
I'm happy that we're going to the movie theaters again.
Yeah, baby. We're getting there. Ooh. Movie time. Hey Cisco, if the people want to find you at home, where can they find you?
If you want to hear my angry bad takes, you can find me on Twitter at CiscoKiwi2D77.
Steve, where can the people find you?
I rarely tweet, but you can find me on Twitter at Rex Manning.
I don't know, man. You can find me on Twitter, Alex _ Backus, Instagram at Alex Backus, and we will see you next time on BSR. Later.
Guys, I'm here at Pixar. I'm about to go in, start working on a collaboration project with Pixar.
Just kidding, man. I don't play that soft little baby shit, man. That's Satan all day, that evil Satan stuff, heavy metal shit, man. I don't fuck around with that little baby shit.